actually hit the record button this time.
So, hi everybody, it's Jason Janicki with Penguin Bridge of Abyss. Apparently you didn't record the last one.
We just finished playing The Final Revelation, the Trail of Cthulhu scenario by Graham Woolsey and Scott Doward. I just kind of wanted to get everyone's opinions, thoughts, items, kind of like a wrap-up, now that we all know what the Final Revelation is, and things of that nature. So I guess I'll just kind of open it up to the floor. What did everybody think?
I enjoyed it.
I really liked it, actually.
Yeah,
Jillian looks
good.
Like she's fucked up.
I absolutely loved it, but, like, I'm, like, so distraught. Like, I'm, like, I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was super immersive. Super cool. I love the pacing of it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adored it. I don't think there's anything I dislike other than the murdering of children, but that's just because it was. But it was good, right? Not saying I endorse killing children, but like,
tell me what you just said.
It was. It's like, I don't know. It was really good, Jason. Thank you.
Very good.
Now I'm gonna like.
Bravo.
I'm gonna cry all day.
I guess we'll just go around the room. Like, what was your? Because I'm really interested in knowing what your favorite. Purest scenario was out of the four, because as everyone knows, or as I've mentioned multiple times, the Dance in the Blood is my favorite, and the Watchers in the Sky is my least favorite. I know that I have played this scenario once before, with Joe, who's on the podcast,
Josh.
Gabe, who's on the podcast, and Josh, who's also on the podcast. This was before I even had a recorder, so I'm just kind of interested in wondering, because they almost unanimously said that Watchers in the Sky was their favorite scenario, and I didn't really like it that much.
I actually have to agree with you. Dance in the Blood is probably my favorite.
I like Dance in the Blood, but Watchers in the Sky was my favorite.
Okay.
Watchers.
See, that's very interesting, because
for me, I did really like Watchers in the Sky. I was very, well, that was also my breakdown of the murdering children.
Yeah.
So
Watchers in the Sky, for me, it felt too slow. It started out all of us in separate places. It was really awkward.
It does start off very awkward, but I almost feel that one of the reasons why people like it is because that it starts in a really awkward place. It starts with
personal things.
Yeah, your characters have like a very personal connection. So John, what I asked is, what was your favorite scenario of the four, and what was your least favorite scenario of the four?
Least favorite.
Yeah, Chris said Dances in the Blood. These two said Watchers in the Sky was their favorite. What do you think was your favorite?
Rending Box.
You like this one?
Yeah, I like this.
It's kind of a tie.
I did not like
this
Rending
one
Box.
And
I felt useless the entire time.
Okay. Do you think that was more of a function of the scenario or your character?
Character.
Okay. Fair enough.
Honestly, I actually enjoyed Rending Box about the same as Dance in the Blood, because the insanity of it, like the whole urge, especially with my character background, the urge to gouge out his eyes was written into my character, basically.
Like, I felt with John's character, I couldn't play my character that well, that much, so.
I think what I might do when I run this again, I might tweak that character or maybe leave it out. I just really liked that character because it seemed like to match your personality a lot.
Thanks.
So,
I'm a little curious why you chose
Theo
for me.
You were already.
I just thought
good
that
at playing artists.
Yeah, I think that you're good at playing artists and you're good
so
at
my character
you're
was
really
just
good
like
at playing crazy
because that's how I
yeah
yeah I agree.
I guess my least favorite would be Dying of St. Margaret's, but it's not like it was bad.
I
absolutely loved it.
I mean, even though
I had no reason to then. No,
even though I definitely see that. Even though I definitely state that Watchers in the Sky is my least favorite scenario, it is by no means a bad scenario, and I want to say that, especially because two different groups have told me the exact same thing. I almost get the impression that Watchers in the Sky is just a difficult scenario to game master.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult scenario to run, but when I run it and run it properly, it's very engaging. Because like you said, there's the personal connections of like, you know, your dog who's got the bent finger
like,
and stuff like that.
I don't know.
I don't know, like, Watchers was weird for me, because, like, I didn't like it, and I think, again, it was actually because of my character.
That's my problem with Dying with St. Margaret's, was actually I was playing an asshole, which is fine. I like playing an asshole, but I'm like, this bougie piece of shit, dude. Like,
I think my problem with Watchers is that it felt more along the lines of just going with the flow of it, because everything pointed you in the same direction, whether you were passive or active about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the other ones, I actually felt like, you know, I had to be a little more active to proceed along with the story.
Yeah, so for, like, Watchers, like, I don't know, like, everything came back to, like, oh, you know, you see things that, like, remind you of your fiancé. Well, I don't care about my fiancé.
Yeah, and...
Like, this is a character, like, the issue is, yeah, like, this is a character who didn't seem to care about anyone. Like, it was, I'm engaged because I want to see what it's like. That's kind
of... Yeah, and I want to say that that was kind of a... I almost get the impression that I think I need to re-majigger the backstory a little bit, because the rest of the scenario, at least from the GM side of things, implies that you do actually care about your fiancé, even though in the backstory from the book, it's very clear that you probably don't care that much. I think it's just a matter of, I need to tweak it a little
bit. Yeah, like, I felt like she was just, and it just kind of felt like she was along for the ride a lot of the time.
Okay. So,
although Dancing in the Blood was really fun, I loved playing the surreal artist. Like, as soon as I got that, I knew how to play that character.
I could feel you fucking with me the whole time.
I knew to run with it, run straight to what was gonna kill us.
I wish I just had, like, a random word generator for Jonesy, like, so I could just every so often.
I love Jonesy.
Jonesy was great. I love Jonesy.
Honestly, with Dancing in the Blood, I love the whole Michael Laws and Gregory. Geoff Laws, whatever. whatever the fuck you want to call him. But I mean, I love that. I love that dynamic where it's like, I know I have to kill him. I know what's gonna happen.
He knows he has to kill his brother.
And I'm wondering, because I know my character, my Rending Box character was in the blood. Was he also implied to be that the more people?
Everybody knows. No, just because you're. Just because your drive is in the blood, he's talking about his Rending Box.
Yeah, sorry.
Just because the Rending Box character is in the blood doesn't mean that you're a warm person.
No. Like, in the blood more means, like, it's, this kind of, like, you are drawn to this kind of thing regardless, like, it's...
Of what
it's,
you do.
It is, like, a physical part of...
Yeah, it almost operates like a curse.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of how I played it. I just didn't know for certain.
Okay, so, Chris, your favorite was...
Either Rending Box or Dance in the Blood.
And your least favorite was Watchers?
Yeah.
Okay. Jillian, your favorite was
Watchers? My favorite was Watchers.
And your least favorite was Dying at St. Margaret's?
Yes.
Emily?
Watchers and Rending.
Watchers and Rending Box, yeah. John?
Rending Box was definitely, like, I don't know, a lot of it was characters. Like,
I agree.
I do agree, like, Dance in the Blood and Rending Box had my favorite characters.
By far.
I really enjoyed Dying at St. Margaret's, and just for the Watchers, like, it's the same way Emily didn't like Rending Box. I just felt like it wasn't doing much. Like, okay, I think they were all great scenarios. Yeah. It was just, like, characters always seemed like, it always seemed like somebody was, like, one character was gonna kind of be...
The star.
Not the star, but, like, one character...
There's gonna be lag.
Yeah, there's gonna be, like, somebody who just doesn't really do as much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it comes down to characters. It
definitely felt like that.
Yeah.
Bang, like, characters. I think for me, that probably was Watchers. My character didn't really have too much, besides the preparedness.
Alright.
So, my next question is, what did everyone think of the final revelation framing scenario?
I absolutely loved it. Yes.
I wish we got to interact with those characters more.
Yeah.
Where did Patrick go?
Yeah.
So, the way that Final Revelation was, the genesis of this campaign, is that all four of the scenarios, the Dying at St. Margaret's, the Dance in the Blood, the Rending Box, and the Watchers in the Sky, they were all published separately.
Okay.
They were all published separately by Pelgrane, they all kind of had this tangential connection, which, my understanding, is not entirely accidental. But they were all written by different people, my understanding is, and all of that stuff. Scott Dorwood, he's the one of the guys on the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast, he was kind of asked as Pelgrane to gather all of the stuff and then write the frame for it.
Ooh.
So basically, the idea behind the framing, the actual Final Revelation framing scenario, is really just to kind of provide a framework, an excuse, if you will, to kind of play all of them in a certain order.
Yeah.
And kind of tangentially, like, you know, bring out those aspects of them that are similar. So I definitely understand that, you know, you don't really get a really big chance to deal with the characters very much. But that's kind of intentional, because the whole point of the Final Revelation is simply to kind of provide an excuse to do the meat of the campaign, which is the four scenarios. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I find that the overarching characters are very, like, a lot more open-ended in their personality. So you could really, like, put your personality traits in them. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because they're doomed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They've already gone through this innumerable amount of times, and they will continue to do this basically forever.
Regardless.
How do they wake up in the future?
Yep. This is one of those scenarios that I don't think is for everybody, because, once again, it's a Kobayashi Maru. It's a no-win. You can't win. You've already failed. And you're just kind of playing through the aftermath. That was one of the reasons why I'm always kind of a little leery of who I invite to this campaign and when I invite them, because I think that there's certain people who I game with who definitely would not go for that sort of thing. There's certain people, like John in particular, I believe, if I remember correctly, you wanted to be in the first one, and I asked
you. No, you wouldn't. When you first described it to me, it wasn't that I was hesitant on the not winning, because I mind that a little, but, like, I've, after going through all of Masks, I realized that, like, you're not really always gonna, like, sometimes not winning is more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking not winning in Dracula was amazing. That was great.
Yeah.
That was the best way we could have not won.
Like, with the Dying of St. Margaret's, the reason why I had my character act so hastily, because I knew there was no long-term repercussions.
Yeah.
And it fits his character to live in the moment, and then I, as a person, am not hesitant to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I want to say it was just after my sophomore year, because it was, like, when I first started gaming with you,
because
we were talking about it while we were cleaning out the soda storage box.
Yeah.
And, like, you even mentioned that you didn't think, like, it'd be a game for me, and, like, you explained it to me. I'm like, yeah, you know, that doesn't sound like something I'd be super interested in, and, like...
Yeah, but I feel like now that you've gotten a lot more experience with role-playing, and especially with, you know...
I've gotten a lot more experience role-playing with you.
Yeah. And I think it worked out. I think all four of you guys, fantastic. Yeah. Everything was
awesome. I've been role-playing for a couple of years before I joined your group. I told you that several times.
I don't listen.
Yeah, but the issue is, like, I was in a group where... I was in, like, a group of younger role-players, so, like, the idea of winning the game was a lot more prevalent.
Yes. So that's that. So, any final thoughts before we kind of sign off and put this guy to bed?
Not much. If anybody out there really wants to play it, I totally suggest it.
Yeah,
you gotta find the right group for it. But in all reality,
I think this would have been a lot.
This probably has to line up with one of my favorite.
Jason made me cry. That's all.
I'm both sorry and not sorry.
I got to kill two kids.
Yeah,
like you.
I got to play with my hair.
That was fun. That was so much fun. Especially when Anne walked in, she's like, what?
Yeah.
Alright, sounds good. Well, everybody, welcome, or hope you guys enjoyed the Final Revelation. Hopefully, if you like this, we've got a whole bunch of other cool campaigns and one-shots on PenguinFringeAbyss.com, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye! Bye.